Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to a very special Following On podcast with me, Neil Manthorpe, as we're delighted to announce more international cricket will return to TalkSport 2 this month. We'll bring you live ball-by-ball commentary of Ireland's tour of the West Indies with coverage of 2 one-day internationals and a one-off T20, all taking place at Sabina Park in Jamaica. Our award-winning team will bring you every boundary and wicket from this Tuesday as the two sides go head-to-head in the World Cup Super League qualifiers, with a place at the 2023 World Cup at stake. It all gets underway at 2:30 p.m. in the UK, and you can listen on DAB Plus digital radio online, and make sure you download the free TalkSport app so you can take us with you. You don't have to miss a moment. Over the next 30 minutes, we'll bring you 3 exclusive interviews with some of the protagonists involved as we speak to Ireland duo George Dockrell and fellow all-rounder Curtis Kampfer. And Shamar Brooks will discuss how the West Indies will rebuild after a shambolic T20 World Cup. So sit back and enjoy. You're listening to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. We start today's show by hearing from the West Indies youngster, Jaden Seals. The 20-year-old quickie made his test debut last year and could make his ODI debut in this series following a successful stint in the Lankan Premier League with the Jaffna Kings. Here he is discussing managing expectations and what it'll be like to play at Sabina Park in the coming week.
For me, I tend to set very realistic goals. So I'm not one to say I'll go in and get a dream debut and probably get 5 on debut. That is not what I tend to look forward to. I try to stay and keep it as simple as possible. So I think I'll be under pressure majority of the time in my career thus far. I think I'll be under pressure seeing I'm the youngster and, you know, I've been performing, as you said. So now the media and everyone would just look at me. He has to perform, or if he doesn't perform, the talk might come up. He's too young. So I tend to think, yes, there's pressure, but I don't take it on per se. I just go out and enjoy my cricket and play to the best of my ability. And I don't really go to social media during series or during a game. I tend to stay off of social media, stay off of reading comments. I just talk to my parents, my family back home, and keep my mind away from all the negatives and focus on the cricket. So being back in Jamaica at Sabina Park obviously gave me that extra confidence. So now once given the opportunities to go and repay the faith that the selectors have in me.
That's the young West Indies quick, Jaden Seals there. And one man who'll be looking to score runs off him is the Ireland all-rounder George Dockrell. Following his introduction to international cricket as a frontline left-arm spinner, he's since transitioned to moving up the batting order and becoming a genuine all-rounder. We discuss that and a lot more over the next 10 minutes or so. George Dockrell, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Do you know what? I can't remember the last time that an Ireland squad didn't have George Dockrell in it. How have you managed to stay 29 for so long?
Yeah, I guess I'm very lucky with how early I came into the game. It was my last year of school when I made my debut, and was pretty blessed by the circumstances that meant I did get my opportunity. And obviously it's been quite an interesting career since then. And I've transitioned now recently in the last year or two into a bit of a batting role, which has been quite refreshing for me, and a bit of a new challenge. So yeah, look, I'm lucky to have played as much as I have.
I'm going to come on to that point about your transition to a genuine all-rounder. But just in terms of preparation for this trip to the West Indies, it's obviously an important one. But you were looking forward to some ODIs against the USA in Miami, and they got cancelled. So that was a bit of a setback.
Yeah, we had a bit of a frustrating month in December, obviously, headed over there. And that tour kind of coincided with Omicron and all the issues that that's had, you know, not just through cricket worldwide, but sport and life in general. So it was a little bit frustrating for us that we had those issues, and we had a few other problems early on in December. Like myself and three other players actually caught COVID in early December, which delayed our departure out to the US. And then obviously once we got there, then those remaining ODIs ended up being cancelled. So it's been an interesting month. But look, we're delighted to be here now in the West Indies, in Jamaica, and looking forward to the games here.
George, you made 80-odd in the warm-up game against Jamaica. So back to this transformation. I mean, as a 17-year-old, you were very much a left-arm spinner. I don't think that anybody, possibly not even you, regarded your batting that highly. But it's been a steady climb up the order. And as I say, you're now a genuine all-rounder. Is that something you set out to become?
I think, look, obviously I came in and my spin bowling was obviously my strong suit. And I think it was almost every other aspect of my game wasn't up to standard probably when I first made my debut. So it was my fielding, my batting, you know, physically, all those things I really, really needed to work on. And I think heading over to Somerset as well as an 18-year-old probably did me a world of good in that respect, you know, going over there and seeing, you know, the other 18-year-olds I was up against, and then they were all stronger than me, better than me batting-wise and fielding-wise. And I felt like that was an aspect that I really, really needed to improve on. So it's been something I've been kind of working away at. I probably didn't even give it enough focus when I was kind of 17, 18, 19, 20, and maybe only when I was in my early 20s. And again, I had a couple of seasons with Somerset with the twos where I was working with, you know, Steve Snell, really trying to become more of a batter. And again, once I kind of moved back to Ireland, gave it a bit more of a focus. But as I said, it's something I've really, really enjoyed doing. It's been quite refreshing having a bit of a role change and having something new to work on. And I think within cricket, it's so nice when you can add value in both innings and makes training and games a lot more fun. So it's quite an easy transition to try and work on, I guess.
This trip to the West Indies is so important. I mean, I'm talk about the lack of cricket for the Associate Nations till I'm blue in the face, but the establishment of the World Cup Super League and automatic qualification for the World Cup, it really does seem to have added an enormous amount of context to one-day cricket.
It has, and it's been brilliant for us, you know, having that, I suppose, that narrative around all our games, having a real clear focus towards these series. Also, I think, you know, putting more focus on series cricket about home and away, trying to really understand, you know, what games you need to win at home, you know, where you want to try and pick off wins when you're away, and how you're going to go about planning towards that. And I think also as a team, it allows you to kind of put together a year's cricket in that sense. You're kind of building, you know, for each of these series. So I think it's been fantastic in that sense. It's a pity that obviously some aspects of it have been, you know, that it's not going to be used going forward. But for us, I think it's definitely added a little bit more importance, and we've really enjoyed it.
Talking of Associate Nations, Ireland, of course, is a test-playing nation. But talking of Associate Nations, I have to ask you about that extraordinary achievement of the United States, beating you in a T20 International in Miami a couple of weeks ago. That was massive for USA cricket.
Yeah, look, it would have been a huge, huge day for them, and credit to them the way they went about their business that day. And even across the two games we did play was very, very impressive. And I'm sure they were disappointed, as we were, to not actually be able to play that ODI series and get a little bit more cricket against one another. But I think, you know, from personal experience, I think when you look at the teams across cricket in the world, you know, teams are really getting better, I think, which is fantastic for the sport. And it's great to see. And I think, you know, teams like the USA are going to be on the up, and they're going to push teams, and especially coming to these, you know, these qualifying events and global events. It's what you want to see is new faces and that standard rising across the board, not just within the top 10 or the top 5 in world cricket. I think that's where we want, you know, that's where you want cricket to go ideally. So obviously, you know, from a personal point of view and from our squad, it was disappointing to have that loss, but I suppose, look, a great day for USA cricket and a good sign for where things are in global cricket terms.
Is Ireland transitioning from the era of the famous players, the O'Briens, Ed Joyce, Boyd Rankin, you know, the names that were very familiar on a global stage, but there's some properly exciting young cricketers in this Ireland team. I mean, you're now the old man of the team at 29. You're the senior pro, but Josh Little and Curtis Kampfer, two names that come to mind. Is there an excitement, a buzz in this younger Ireland team?
Yeah, look, I think it's an incredibly different landscape to the kind of environment that, again, the Porterfields, the O'Briens would have come through. And even for myself, I suppose, you know, we had a very different path, and a lot of it, you know, involved county cricket for players moving over there at a young age and kind of getting your building blocks and your basics right over there. But now it's quite different. You know, we have the support back home in terms of contracts for those players. I think there's still a bit of a challenge around how we kind of develop them as best as possible. But, you know, we're seeing the likes of Josh Little, who's been incredibly exciting over the last year, and some of the wickets he's taken, some of the games he's played in, and the spells he's put together have been really exciting. And now he's getting that opportunity across, you know, Sri Lankan Premier Leagues and T10s and things like that to show just how good he is. You know, we've also had the likes of Gareth Delaney, as you say, some guys like Curtis Kampfer or Harry Tector, who've again come through more so the Irish domestic system and shown, you know, a real ability, you know, which in itself is exciting. I think we are definitely in an interesting place, because I do think things back home need to keep getting better in terms of the facilities, in terms of the domestic cricket we're playing against one another, and really push ourselves. But I think, look, the players are definitely there. And I think looking at the wins we've put together in the last year in ODI cricket shows that we have the ability to do that. I think it's just doing it consistently now.
How important is the contract situation? You were one of the centrally contracted players in October last year. Does that fundamentally change your outlook and the way you prepare, your just the whole way you approach the game?
I think, yeah, look, obviously I'm, again, one of the lucky people who kind of came straight in, came out of school, went in on a contract and had the ability to give cricket my full-time focus. And, you know, since then, things have continued to build and support is there in terms of allowing players to do that full time. So I think, look, that's always been there and that's been great. As I said, I think the next focus is trying to keep developing on that domestic structure at home to make sure that we're really pushing ourselves when we are at home. Because I think we you know, we get the cricket now, we get the fixtures, guys have the contracts in terms of being able to give it their full-time attention. And now it's trying to understand how can we best improve domestically and then against one another, and making sure that we're also producing the players to come through to take those contracts to play in those games as well. So, look, it helps that we have those contracts, and I think there's some other areas now that we need to work on.
You mentioned Somerset a minute ago, and you had some outstanding performances. Actually, I remember you started at the speed of light. I think you took 6 in your first game. But is that an itch that you'd like to scratch again, county cricket? Would you like to have another crack at it?
Yeah, look, I absolutely loved my time with Somerset. You know, I went over there and I'd gone over when I was maybe 15 or 16. Brian Rose had brought me over. And I remember doing a session with Jackie Birkinshaw back then. And absolutely loved it. At 18, it was an option that I was more than happy to pursue. And again, at that age, it was brilliant for me to be in that environment with that coaching setup. Brilliant club, great supporters and an incredible staff as well, players that I got to rub shoulders with, obviously, for those 5 or 6 years. But I suppose then the landscape changed in terms of, you know, Irish commitments, obviously ECB rules in terms of us being overseas, which really changed that kind of that landscape and the opportunity that Irish players had, which I think was a real shame and a real pity that's how things went. You know, obviously, now I feel like my interest is back home domestically with Ireland, trying to work on things there and continue to develop things from there. But yeah, look, it was a time that I really, really enjoyed and look back with a lot of really, really fond memories and some great friendships now.
So for the future, I mean, Cricket Ireland seem to be trying extremely hard to work on the fixture list. And there's a couple of games against South Africa this summer coming up. Talking of South Africa, they were over in Ireland last summer as well. And you had them under real pressure in the T20s in particular. I mean, I think they were 70 for 5 in a couple of those games. In fact, there might have been 40 for 5 in one of them. Learning to win, you know, is a difficult concept to define, isn't it? But you professionals talk about the difference between having a couple of great individual performances and making them count, learning how to win.
Yeah, and I think that's the African ODI. The second one that we won was probably one of our most pleasing on a number of, you know, in a number of ways. I suppose it was our first big win over a team at home. We've always had our success at World Cups and away from home, you know, beating England, obviously, the year before. A lot of success at World Cups, you know, 07, 2011, 2015. But yet, you know, struggling to actually do it in our own backyards. So that was something that we'd been really working towards. And the way we did it, you know, putting together a full first innings whereby guys, you know, set up the platform up top. We finished the innings well in the last 10 and then bowled nicely the whole way through, took wickets the whole way. And I think it's putting together, you know, 100 overs of good cricket. That's the real challenge, because I think you can be good for 30, 40, 50 overs of a game. But if you fall away, that's when, you know, as you say, it becomes just a good moment or a day out for someone. And we need to be putting together good days of cricket and then good series of cricket as well. So that's our challenge. And I think it's been pleasing that we've been able to do that now over the last while. Again, I think our challenge is probably trying to do that more consistently. But look, you know, where we were in that first ODI, we also might have had a chance at that. And we played well in that second game, then continued it through the series and on into the games against Zimbabwe as well. So I think it's a great sign of the cricket we can put together. And as I said, our challenge is to do that as often as we can.
Just a couple more. Talking about big wins, of course, you beat the West Indies in T20 International just a couple of years ago. So I've no doubt that, you know, that you believe you can have a proper crack at them again this time. Those big wins, they're so important for the next generation, aren't they? Not just for you, but when you know, when you can look back at, we beat the West Indies 2 years ago. I don't know. It's so important, isn't it, for the future, as I say, future generations and future series.
Definitely. Like for me myself, when I first came into the Irish team as well, like I would have always come in looking at those guys. As I said, the William Porterfields, the Kevin O'Briens, the Trent Johnsons, and I would have remembered what they had done against those guys. And you're rubbing shoulders with them and you take a lot of belief from that. And it obviously gives you a huge, huge boost you know, for cricket in the country as well and across the group. And as I said, I think if you look in the last, you know, the last year or so, we've had some lovely, you know, great wins against England, against Africa. Our challenge, again, as I said, is probably putting it together for a bit longer and being a bit more consistent. But we know we've got the ability there to win these games. And it's great knowing that going into matches.
Back to the subject of South Africa. What do you know about Heinrich Malan, the new coach taking over from Graham Ford? I know Graham Ford was very popular. He's not joined you yet, has he?
No, so I think he comes on board in March. So, yeah, no, look, I haven't dealt with him personally myself. All the reports I've heard have been great so far. And I think he'll bring a lot of energy and in a great attitude towards Irish cricket. He's obviously had a very successful coaching career so far. So, look, we're all delighted to have him on board, and I suppose to get working with him and seeing what ideas he can bring and help push Irish cricket forward.
He has a reputation for being very innovative, thinking out the box, being very creative. Is that does that appeal?
Yeah, definitely. Look, I think Irish cricket as well, in terms of how small it is sometimes and the fact that we're quite insular at times, I think it's fantastic when you get these new ideas in, when you get coaches from outside of Ireland with new thoughts on the game. And again, probably one of the reasons why it's fantastic having some of our players now playing in these leagues around the world, because you want to get as many new ideas and learn from as many people as possible. And I think Heinrich will definitely do that. He'll bring some great ideas, ask some questions of players and probably coaches alike, and challenge everyone. I think that's what you want, is to be kept, you know, on your toes in that sense. So I think definitely it'll be good for us. And as I said, I think we're all looking forward to getting working with him soon.
I know Graham Ford was very popular. When he announced that he wouldn't be renewing his contract and he'd be moving on, there was a sense of honest frustration that he perhaps didn't have the tools, or maybe Cricket Ireland didn't have the money for him to help the team move forward. Is that a fair? Was I supposed to pick up that sense?
Yeah, look, and you know, personally, Graham was fantastic. He was the one who kind of pushed for me to move into this batting role and to continue doing this with Ireland as a coach. Hard to put into words, I guess, how good he was and how he kind of empowered all the players and how much he got behind all of us. So look, all the players were obviously gutted to hear that news when we did, and very disappointed that I suppose Graham felt that way. I think there are some unique challenges within Irish cricket. And as I said earlier, I think there's some things that we really, really need to put our focus into over the next while to ensure that we're actually, you know, we're moving in the right direction and giving the appropriate platform to succeed. And as I said, you know, it's always disappointing when you're losing a coach of that caliber and someone who's given the players so much, and not just me personally. So it was disappointing. But as I said, hopefully Heinrich can come in and move us in that right direction.
George, very, very best of luck. Enjoy Jamaica. I don't suppose you're going to get out and about and get to see much of Kingston and the Bob Marley Museum, but enjoy the hotel and very, very best of luck in the series.
Will do. Thanks very much.
That was the Ireland all-rounder George Dockrell speaking to me earlier. You're listening to the Following On podcast from Talk Sport as we build to our coverage of Ireland's tour of the West Indies, which begins on Tuesday. Next up, we'll hear from fellow all-rounder Curtis Kampfer after a memorable World Cup campaign, and we'll get the lowdown on a new era for West Indies cricket with their top-order batter, Shamar Brooks.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to a very special Following On podcast with me, Neil Manthorpe, as we continue to build up to Ireland's tour of the West Indies with two ODIs and a T20 international live on TalkSport 2 starting next Tuesday afternoon from 2 p.m. We'll bring you live ball-by-ball commentary, and you can listen on DAB Plus online, and make sure you download the free TalkSport app so you can take us with you. You don't have to miss a moment. Time now to hear from Ireland all-rounder Curtis Kampfer, who's reflected on a memorable 2021 and discussed his journey from Johannesburg to Jamaica. I caught up with him a little earlier. First of all, let's talk about preparations for the series. They haven't been ideal, have they? You know, you managed to get a couple of T20s in Miami. That must have been an interesting experience for you. But then the ODIs got cancelled. So are things back on track for the tour?
Yeah, it's hard to say back on track, but yeah, we've had a few problems and a few things with just COVID and isolating and a lot of days of quarantine and guys not getting the right amount of loads. I think the perfect plan was to play the T20s and have the ODIs and have the miles and the legs, you know, have three ODIs under the belt and come in for a warm-up game and really have 50, 60 overs of bowling and guys of load of batting in. So it hasn't really gone to plan, but I think we're trying to make the best of the situation. I think everyone around the world now is battling with this right now. So, you know, the West Indies are also battling with it too. And a few guys have battled with it already. So it's kind of just getting stuck in and just kind of accepting that this is what you have to do and kind of just face it.
All right, let's talk about the T20 World Cup and the 4-in-4. I know you've done 100 interviews, but you've had time to reflect on it now. Have you got the four wickets on your phone? Can you sort of go have a look at them whenever you fancy the the Netherlands, of course, I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't think I have it on my phone. To be honest, I did watch it back just to see exactly how they were, but yeah, it's just an amazing experience and something I'll cherish. You know, something you don't really think of. I think maybe because I had two reviews in there, I didn't really think of getting four wickets or even a hat trick. You know, it didn't really cross my mind because it was like, yeah, I got one, had to review it. Get the next one straight away, had to review the next one, you know, so it was like kind of a bit like bittersweet, you know. It wasn't like it was just like three straight dismissals and then the fourth obviously, but yeah, it was really nice to have and just really happy to contribute to the team. I think that was the biggest thing. I think we needed wickets. The game had built up so much pressure, and I was just lucky that was my turn.
Lasith Malinga, Rashid Khan, Curtis Kampfer. That's your club mates.
Yeah, it's crazy that, isn't it? Yeah, it's nice to be part of that, but I think all that matters is that we won that game, to be honest. I think that was more important.
So from Joburg to Jamaica now, it's been an interesting 6-year journey. But you're 100% committed. You know, there are sort of what I call passenger internationals who commute. But you made the big decision a few years ago. Now you moved to Ireland. You fully committed, and you were determined to build a career for yourself. Have you ever, and congratulations, you have done. You ever had any doubts along the way?
I don't think I had time to have doubts, to be honest. It all happened way too quickly. Obviously, being away from family and stuff like that, that's really tough. But, you know, when you commit yourself to play international sports, it doesn't matter where you are, you're going to be on the road all the time, you know. So I'm happy where I am. I love Ireland. It's a home for me now. My girlfriend's moving in with me. It's just a really good time, you know. I'm feeling like it's home. I want to go back to Ireland after tours and stuff like that. It is my home, and I'm just really grateful that everyone accepted me with open arms, and, you know, it went so well.
Are you a goal setter? And have you set any for 2022?
Yeah, a few goals, but more personally on the cricketing front, I don't like to air those out too much, you know, because keep within the team and a few personal sets. But I think with team-wise, obviously qualifying for the World Cup's a massive thing. One of our goals was to do the ODI World Cup. Obviously, with the World Super League, that was our big thing of making sure that we're in the, you know, the top 10 or top 12 to make sure that we go to the qualifiers to have an easier road through. But obviously, with that falling away by the side, we have to re-establish new goals. And I think our main goal right now is just qualifying for the next World Cup.
What about your journey up the batting order? I see that you were batting 4 in Miami. I know you started at 7, but you are a genuine all-rounder, and that's what you want to be. You want to bat in the top 6, don't you, regularly?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I love it. It's added a bit more pressure and responsibility, which I've really enjoyed, and hopefully I can thrive, you know. With great power comes great responsibility, so I just need to make sure that I can do it for the team. I think that's the biggest thing, is making sure that I can do a job for the team. And if it may be at 5, 6, 7, or 8 or 9, 10, 11, as long as I'm in the playing 11, I'm really happy, to be honest. Any game you get to play for Ireland is a privilege and an opportunity, and I think that can't be taken for granted, you know.
What about county cricket, Curtis? Does that appeal? Would you like to give it a crack? I assume you wouldn't mind at some point in the future.
Yeah, obviously, if I could get over as an overseas pro or do any kind of gigs like that, I'd love it. Anytime you can get out of your home country and go to different environments and conditions, you know, you can always grow you as a cricketer. And I think that's really good, and have to an open mind, especially when I'm young. You know, I can have the opportunity to travel and do a few things. So I think I'd definitely be open to that, and hopefully that can happen in the future.
You're averaging over 50 in ODI cricket. So I think you probably deserve a place in the top 6.
Listen, the guys are playing really well. You know, it's nice to see Lorcan get some runs in the USA. You know, he's worked hard, and it's nice to see everyone doing well. Doc is getting some runs too, you know. Harry in the summer getting runs in the middle order. So I know we are a young, theoretically everyone likes to call us an inexperienced side, which we are in the middle order. But we're learning and we're growing, and we're just trying to put together as many good performances as we can.
I know you're a big believer in playing the ball and not the man and ignoring reputations. Well, at least I'm told you're like that. So you don't get intimidated by playing England or the West Indies, or, you know, the big teams.
Yeah, well, listen, it's, at the end of the day, it is just someone trying to get you out and you trying not to give your wicket away. I think that's it. I think as soon as you start getting caught up in that kind of thing, you take your focus away from the job at hand. You know, we're paid professionals to do a job, and we must do a job. And I think that's as simple as it is. You know, there's no point in looking at, oh, this guy, this and that, you know. At the end of the day, someone's going to play for West Indies, someone's going to play for Ireland, and their both jobs are to take wickets and score runs. So you just got to do yours better than someone else.
And Ireland beat the West Indies in a T20 international just a couple of years ago in the Caribbean. So I'm assuming you fancy your chances again.
I think so, yeah. The conditions are a little bit different to what we expected, sure. It's going to be tough batting, I think, and in the morning, and then the afternoon should flatten out a little bit and offer a bit of spin. So it's going to be a good contest with bat and ball, and I think hopefully we can you know, we've got our plans in place and we back ourselves and hopefully we can come good.
And are you familiar with the new coach, Heinrich Mellan?
No, I don't know him at all. I think Buddy said that he's had a few phone calls with him and chatted to him, and I think obviously pending his visa and things like that, he'll be over pretty shortly, and we'll get to meet up and get working together. So it's gonna be an exciting time, you know, new times, fresh things in, and hopefully we can work well.
What does the future hold, both short term and long term for you and Irish cricket? Start with this summer. I know that South Africa are visiting. So they're coming over again. What else is in line for Irish cricket?
I think there's a few tours. I think there's meant to be, I think Afghanistan released something with test match ODIs and T20s. I'm not sure if that will go ahead or if that is true. Obviously, you know, I'm just a player. I just get told when the game's on, when we have to play them and get ready for them. But I think Zimbabwe's on the cards too again. I think that trip's been postponed a couple of times, but hopefully a few test matches, that'll be really nice to hopefully be a part of. I think Irish cricket deserve a few test matches and get a bit more, you know. Obviously, I think New Zealand are meant to come across and Bangladesh. I think it's meant to be a jam-packed summer. And hopefully we can put some good results together and warrant a few more teams coming over to visit the Irish shores. And I think that's going to be big for us as a team, making sure that we can warrant those tours and get those tours ahead. And then, obviously qualifies in February, and then hopefully the World Cup at the end of the year.
And finally, there's some unfamiliar names in the West Indies squad. I bet your analysts have had their work cut out finding some footage of some of those players.
No, Scotty's very, very good in fairness. And he's got footage on everyone. They are a young side. They're doing a bit of a reshuffle, and it's really exciting. You know, it's a little bit tough for us, as you say, to get some footage on some of the guys and make up some plans, which poses another threat. But also for us, new guys will have new pressure. You know, they'll be playing their first or under 10 ODIs themselves, so they'll be nervous to get some runs or get some wickets. So they'll be trying to change things up or try to do something different. You know, and we can work on that, and we can push that home and drive that home and take it to our advantage.
Final question. I just thought of this, and I know that you just said that you're only a player and not an administrator, but the idea of teams coming to England for test series, stopping in Ireland and playing a test match, you know, as they come in, and I mean, that would just seem to make perfect logistical sense and a win-win for everybody, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think personally as a player, the more cricket we can get, the better. You know, I'll always be going for any games we can. You know, even the same thing of us flying over there and playing them in England, you know. No saying we can't do that either. You know, it would be nice to get different surfaces and different facilities and different things we can play on, you know. And I think as a warm-up game or as even just a pure test out in our test for them, it's great prep. You know, they can get guys that can get a run out in similar conditions, and we can get a game that hopefully will benefit the Irish public and us as players.
Curtis, a very, very, very best of luck in the series. I know that how exciting it is for you. I'm sorry you won't be able to get out and see much of Kingston, but enjoy the hotel. I hope it's got a good pool, and very, very best of luck in the series.
Thank you so much, and enjoy Cape Town.
That's Ireland all-rounder Curtis Camfer speaking to me earlier today. And we end today's show by hearing from the West Indies batter, Shamar Brooks. The West Indies will be looking to bounce back from a disappointing T20 World Cup campaign as they enter a new era for this team. Here he is, speaking to me a little earlier. Shamar, Ireland are, as ever, not opposition to be underestimated. And, of course, they managed to win against the West Indies in T20 International just a couple of years ago. So I assume you're not taking them lightly.
Yeah, definitely not. I think as cricket is played on a day, and it's just to go there and play strong cricket, stick to the basics. We have a decent team, some youth with experience. So it's just for us to go there and play the cricket that we know to play, and the result will take care of itself.
After a disappointing T20 World Cup for the West Indies, I guess the rest of the world has an impression that it's a rebuilding phase for the Caribbean. Is that the way you see it?
Well, somewhat. After the team that we would have selected going to Pakistan, there's definitely a lot of new faces there. I guess we are rebuilding in terms of probably the brand of cricket we'd be looking to play going forward from what we've seen, I guess, in recent World Cups. So, yes, I could agree with you there.
You've been around for ages. I mean, I remember you playing in two under-19 World Cups, and you somehow haven't managed to drop anchor in the team, and you've just turned 33 now. Does this feel like a second coming for you?
Well, not really. I have been around a while. Got my opportunities in Test cricket. Just made my debut in Pakistan in T20 cricket, and hopefully tomorrow I'll be making another debut in one day format. But yeah, things have been up and down, as you can see, at the highest level for me. But hopefully this could be the start of something special going forward.
At your best, you are a delight to watch. You make it look easy, which I know batters don't like to hear when they're told that they make the game look easy, because it's not easy. Is there more of a steel to your game now, or concentrate on tightening things up a bit?
Basically, it's just, I guess, doing the basics. I've heard it a lot, as you said. People say they make it look easy, but I guess it just comes down to how you prepare. Since I've been here, the Nets have been pretty fierce. So they've been doing some good workovers over the last couple of days, and already I'm ready to go if selected.
Who are your idols? Who did you look up to as a young cricketer?
People like Brian Lara, definitely. I like Carl Hooper a lot for his ease, the way he played. I'd have to say Desmond Haynes. He would be a local hero for me in terms of the area that I grew up in. Those would be the three people, basically.
I always wonder whether young cricketers in Barbados somehow find it a bit of a burden being Bayesian, given that Barbados, with its history of players over the decades, could probably have been a test playing nation on its own.
Yeah, we do have a lot of cricketers in our small island. I wouldn't say it's a burden. I guess the public of Barbados have seen good cricketers, and to continue in that vein and the level of cricket that is being played or being displayed in the last couple of years, I reckon they've been let down a bit. But I wouldn't say it's a burden, no.
I'd like to ask you about the World Cup Super League and the system that's in place with automatic qualification. Obviously, the West Indies had to qualify for the 2015 World Cup in a pre-qualifier. Well, what do you make of the Super League and having these three-match series where you can guarantee qualification, and it gives a chance, of course, to some of the smaller nations?
No, I definitely don't have a problem with it. When I look at, for the last World Cup, as you rightfully said, we had to qualify. And I remember speaking to the captain and Jason, and it wasn't an easy road actually qualifying. So hopefully for the next World Cup, we wouldn't have to go down that line again and put in some good performances leading up to the World Cup in these games starting with tomorrow.
Shamar, there's some unfamiliar names in the West Indies squad for this series, unfamiliar to the rest of the world. Can you tell us anything about Justin Greaves, Gudakesh Moti? We don't know. We haven't heard of them.
Well, Justin is from Barbados as well. He was given the opportunity to open for Barbados in the last Super 50 competition. He didn't have a bad competition. I think he finished in the top six or seven in the run scores. Also bowls some medium pace as well, and a good fielder. So he's a very handy cricketer. Gudakesh Moti, he played for the West Indies youth team. I can't remember which year it would have been, but he would have played West Indies at 19. He's been playing for Guyana in both ODI and for the Amazon Warriors in the T20 competition in RCPL. And he did well in those competitions. So I guess these two guys have merited their selection in terms of being in the ODI and the T20 squads.
Talking of selection, and you just mentioned him as one of your idols, Desmond Haynes, becoming the head selector, chief selector. That's interesting. How important is his position, do you think?
I think any lead selector's position is very important. I'm happy that he's been selected or been chosen or appointed for the job. I guess it's just for him now to get closer to the players and I guess our own cricket and make the right decisions going forward.
Looking ahead beyond this series, there's the England Test Series coming up. Well, obviously, there's the five T20 internationals first, but do you see yourself now as more of a white ball player or still multi-format?
Yeah, still multi-format. I've just been given a few opportunities in this in shorter formats, but I guess I've been looked at over the years more so for the test cricket or for the longer format of the game.
Changing topic again, you had some experience with Middlesex, didn't you? You played at Middlesex for a while. Is county cricket something you'd like to have another crack at?
Definitely. County cricket is definitely something I'd like to get the opportunity to get in a few batting. Middlesex seconds, that was in 2008 or 9, I think it was. I only played about two or three games, though, because the weather wasn't that nice and a lot of the games were rained out, but it was a good opportunity. I actually enjoyed it. And if given the opportunity again, I'll definitely go back.
And cricket in the Caribbean, again, you know, we talk from outside. We always wonder about the popularity and the health of the game in the Caribbean. When we get a few chances to go there, we realise that there doesn't seem to be any problem with it at all. But is the popularity and the expansion of the game still on course?
Well, in recent times, I guess the pandemic alone, the guys haven't been given the opportunity to play much cricket, especially our first class cricket. I don't want to say it's dying. Like when I was much younger, I know a lot of youngsters would be playing a lot of cricket. I don't see much of that. No, as when I was a youngster, but I think the guys who are around the under 15, under 19, those guys are still keen and very interested in improving their skills and getting to the highest level.
So this series against Ireland coming up and then the T20s against England, important to lay down a marker, I guess, for a new era.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, from the way I've seen the team selectors, it seems to be going in a different direction now, and it's just for guys to go there and stamp the authority and, I guess, impose themselves on the world at this level of cricket.
Okay, so final thoughts about Ireland. You must be confident, without being overconfident, that you'll get the job done.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to say overconfident, but definitely confident. It'll be interesting to get out there and see what they put out there tomorrow. But it's never a team, you know, to underestimate, as you rightfully said at the start of the interview. So we said we just got to play the cricket that we know and the result will take care of itself.
Shamar, best of luck in the series and thank you very much for your time.
Cheers, Neil.
That was the West Indies top order batter Shamar Brooks there. And a reminder, you can hear two ODIs and a T20 international between the West Indies and Ireland live on TalkSport 2. With our coverage from our award-winning team beginning this Tuesday afternoon from 2 p.m. So stay tuned to the Following On feed for more content across the coming weeks. And a reminder to join John Norman and Double Ashes winner Steve Harmison for the Ashes Inquest after every day's play. The latest episode available to download right now. Thanks for listening again to the Following On podcast from TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.